Title: Tape Stop Transitions in Ableton Live Advanced DNBFX. Alright, let's get into tape stops in Ableton Live, the advanced drum and bass way. A tape stop is basically the controlled time warp moment. It yanks the groove out from under the listener, creates that split second of panic or suspense, and then you slam them into the next section. In DNB, this is especially powerful because everything is moving so fast. At 174 BPM, tiny timing mistakes feel huge, and low-end mistakes feel even bigger. So today you're going to learn three pro approaches. 1. Warp-based clip breaks for surgical, grid-perfect stops. 2. An automation-based tape stop rack you can perform and reuse. 3. Resampling and committing the stop so it's bulletproof in the final arrangement. And throughout the whole thing, we're going to keep the two big DNB priorities intact: punchy drums and a clean, stable sub. Before we touch any devices, here's the first coach note that changes everything. Pick your clock source. Meaning, decide what stays truthful to tempo and what is allowed to drift. In a clean DNB tape stop, at least one element should remain locked to the grid so the listener doesn't lose the pulse completely. Most of the time, that truth element is your sub and maybe a crash, riser, or a vocal cue. Meanwhile, you're allowed to slow the break bus, the mid-bass, or some effects. Now step 1. Choose your tape stop target. You've got three common options. Option 1 is stopping the full drum bus. Classic jungle energy, especially on breaks like an amen or chopped loops. It's very DJ break. Option 2 is stopping the bass bus only, especially mid-bass. That gives you that nasty bass yank right before a re-swap. Option 3 is stopping the full premaster. Biggest moment, but also the most dangerous, because sub and master limiting can betray you. Here's the best practice for most DNB. Tape stop the drum bus and mid-bass, but keep the sub either untouched or very tightly controlled with a simple level dip. Cool. Now let's build the first method. Method 1. Warp-based tape stop. This is the precise, clean one. The one you use when you want a stop that hits exactly where you intend. No surprises. Start by printing or consolidating the audio you want to stop. Maybe you've got a drum bus that includes your break layers. Select the region and consolidate it so it becomes one continuous clip. Now open the clip and turn warp on. Pick the right warp mode for what you're stopping. If it's drums, use beats mode because it respects transients. Set it to preserve transients, and set the envelope somewhere around 20-40%. Lower envelope generally means tighter, less smeary. If you're doing a full mix style stop, or something very tonal where you want it to smear more like a physical slowdown, try Complex Pro. Performance off, and that envelope value you'll tune by ear. The point is, Complex Pro can sound more tape-like, but it will blur drum transients, so be careful with breaks. Now here's the actual tape stop move. Put one warp marker at the point where you want the breaking to start. Put a second warp marker where you want it to reach zero, like the end point of the slowdown. Then drag that second marker left to compress time leading into it. What you're doing is forcing more audio into less time, which creates that deceleration feel as the playhead approaches the marker. Teacher tip: don't just eyeball it. Zoom in, align it to the grid, and listen to the last transient. In DNB, a stop that ends a few milliseconds late can feel like the whole track tripped. Once the stop ends, prevent clicks. Clicks are usually about zero crossings in DC-ish low-end energy, so add a tiny fade-out at the end of the clip. 2-10 milliseconds is often enough. If it still ticks, try a super low cut on the printed audio, like 20-30 Hz. Gentle slope, just to remove sub-rumble that can cause a sharp end. Arrangement placement idea: a classic move is end of bar 15 into bar 16, then your drop hits bar 17. That makes the break the suck-in moment before impact. Okay, that's the surgical method. Now method 2, the performable rack and return workflow. This is the advanced, repeatable DNB approach. You build it once, then it's always there, and you can automate one macro and get consistent stops across projects. We'll do this on a return track, and I strongly recommend that because it makes it feel like a DJ move. You push the send up, you perform the stop, then you pull it back, and your original stays intact unless you choose to mute it. Create a return track and name it tape stop. Think of this return as fully wet, so you'll control how much you hear by the send mount, not by dry slash wet on every plugin. Now build your device chain using stock devices. First, optional grit, redux. Keep it subtle. Bit reduction around 8 to 12. Downsample around 0.3 to 0.7. And then dry slash wet maybe 10 to 30%. This is seasoning, not the main course. Second, auto filter for tone and sub safety. Set it to low pass 24 dB per octave. start the cutoff around 300 Hz and tune. Somewhere in the 200 to 600 range is common. Add a little resonance if you like, and drive it a bit, like 2 to 6 dB, to give the stop some bite. Third, frequency shifter, and this is the Illusion engine. Set it to frequency shift mode. Fine at zero. The key is that we automate the amount negative. This creates a pitch dive character that sells the slowdown, especially on breaks and mid-bass. It's not literally stretching time, but in a busy DNB context, it absolutely reads like the tape motor is dying. Fourth, add a short reverb tail. Small size, short decay. Low cut the reverb so it doesn't smear the sub. High cut it so it doesn't hiss all over the drop. Keep the dry slash wet modest. This is a tail, not a wash. Fifth, utility for final control. You can mono the returned if you want the transition to feel centered and heavy. And you can map gain to keep the effect from spiking. Now group these devices into an audio effect rack and create macros. Macro 1 is stop. Map it to frequency shifter amount, from 0 down to negative. If you want aggressive, go toward minus 1200. If you want more subtle and controlled, try minus 400 to minus 800. Also map stop to the auto filter cutoff, so as the stop deepens, the tone closes down. That helps it feel physical, like friction and loss of high end. Map stop to reverb dry slash wet a little, so the tail blooms slightly as it dies. And map stop to utility gain, maybe dipping up to minus 6 dB by the end, so you don't get a weird level jump when the energy changes. Macro 2 is sub-safe. This is key in DNB. Add another auto filter before everything, set to high pass 24. Map that cutoff to a range like 30 to 60 Hz. Now your tape stop return isn't smearing low-end information that should be staying clean. Macro 3 is grit. Map redux dry slash wet, 0 to 30%. Now let's talk about the part that separates cool effect from pro transition. Automation timing. At 174 BPM, tape stop durations that usually work are 1/8 bar, 1/4 bar, or 1/2 bar. 1/4 bar feels snappy, like a quick fill. Half a bar feels dramatic, like a full pre-drop break. Here's the move. On the track you want to affect, push the send up quickly into the tape stop return. At the same time, automate stop from 0 up to 100 over your chosen length. But automate with intention. Mechanical breaks tend to drop fast then ease, like it catches and then drags. So don't just draw a straight ramp every time. Give it a fast initial dive, then a slower glide into the zero point. And here's an advanced trick. Automate to send like a DJ fader, not like a reverb send. Try a sharp send up for the first 30 to 60 milliseconds to grab the sound, then pull it slightly down and hold while the stop completes. That keeps the original recognizable and stops the return from swallowing everything. At the zero point, pull the send down immediately, or even mute the source for a tiny moment if you want that negative space. And another DNB trick, stop the break, but let eraser or impact continue unaffected. That way, the listener still feels the momentum even while the groove is being yanked. Now, quick warning about dynamics processing. If your drum bus is heavily compressed, the stop tail can surge or vanish depending on the compressor release. Two solutions. Either put the stop processing before bus compression, so you're stopping the raw drums and then compressing the result. Or print the stop and manually shape the tail afterward with clip gain or utility automation. Which is the perfect segue into method 3. Method 3. Resample and commit. This is the no surprises method. If the transition is important, print it. Create an audio track called PrintFX. Set its input to resampling. Arm it and record the section while you perform your tape stop rack or automation. Now you've got an audio clip you can edit like a surgeon. You can add precise fades to remove clicks. You can nudge the start by a few milliseconds if the monitoring felt late. You can reverse tiny tails. You can gate it rhythmically. You can layer a vinyl chirp or noise hit. And you can sculpt the last 200 to 600 milliseconds so the ending feels intentional, not accidental. Extra coach note here, latency and monitoring can lie to you. Some chains, especially with reverb or echo, feel late while you're playing them, but print fine. So record first, judge later. And if it prints off-grid, fix the audio. Don't burn an hour re-performing the same macro move. Now let's lock in the most important DNB technical topic, keeping sub clean and drums punchy. Tape stop artifacts can wreck low end. So do this routing like a pro. Bullet your bass into two tracks, sub and mid bass. The sub is everything below roughly 90 to 120 Hz, depending on your sound. The mid bass is everything above that. Only tape stop the mid bass. Let the sub keep playing, or automate a clean sub dip, like -3 to -8 dB during the stop, then snap it back at the drop. That keeps the foundation alive, and the drop still hits like a truck. For drums, you can tape stop the break bus, but protect the downbeat impact. One way is to layer a clean kick one shot right on the first beat after the stop, totally unaffected. It's a simple trick, but it works every time. The ear hears the break ended, and then the kick confirms the grid instantly. Now, common mistakes to avoid, because these are the ones that ruin otherwise good stops. Stopping the full mix while a limiter is clamping on the master. The limiter can pump or distort the tail and basically tell on you, using the wrong warp mode on breaks. Complex modes can smear transients and turn your crisp break into soup, leaving too much low end in the stop tail. High pass the return. Keep the sub controlled, not quantizing automation. At 174, that slop is obvious. And overusing tape stops. In rolling DNB, if you do it every phrase, it stops feeling like a moment and starts feeling like a gimmick. Now let's add a few darker, heavier pro touches. If you want it industrial, push a little redux and a little filter drive, but keep it parallel. You want attitude, not a destroyed mix. If you want the stop to feel more physical, try adding a tiny bit of saturation before the stop illusion, then close the low pass as the stop deepens. That makes it feel like the system is straining. If you want the stop to feel huge without collapsing width, try a mid-side concept. Slow the mid more than the sides, so the center collapses while ambience stays wide. It feels like space is bending. And for extra personality, you can do a dual speed stop, a tiny 1/16 chip into a longer 1/4 or 1/2 pull down. That reads like the brake catches, then drags. Also, one of my favorite hide the seams tricks, place an impact or crash exactly at the zero point. It masks artifacts and sells the cut. Alright, mini practice exercise. This is where you actually internalize it. Take a 16-bar rolling break at 174 BPM. At bar 15.3, make a half-bar tape stop using the warp method on the break clip. This audio version is shortened for playback.